Anyway, God says, wait a minute, I have called you, and because I've called you, you can do it. There's reassurance, but there's also that chastisement. You can do it, so quit making excuses, because I'll do it through you, that reassurance. And so those that God calls, even though they object, God says, I will be with you, and you can do it. And then comes the commission, what they're called to do. And if you were a prophet in the Old Testament, this usually didn't look so good. Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, was told, you're going to preach your heart out, and the people aren't going to pay a bit of attention to you. You're going to preach and say what I tell you, and the people are not going to listen at all. They're certainly not going to put it into practice. You have Jeremiah, who God says, I'm going to put you above the, or you're going to be presenting my word to the nations, the kingdoms. And you're going to be plucking up and pulling up. You're going to be talking about destruction and building up and planting and all these things. And what we see from the prophet Isaiah as we go through that is the book of Jeremiah is that he talked to the people about their sins, and that if they don't turn around, God's judgment is going to come. And Jeremiah had to be there and live through it as his words were fulfilled, as a siege of Jerusalem happened and the people began to starve as the food ran out. And then to see the city conquered and defeated, and many of the best and the brightest were shipped off to Babylon. And Jeremiah still remained with the remnant. And then he saw that they continued to rebel against God, and the Babylonians came and destroyed the whole city. And Jeremiah had to live through all of this. Prophets didn't have it easy. But then there's what I would call the exception, and that's Jonah. Jonah received the invitation, come, I want you to go give my message to the people of Nineveh. And Jonah's objection was not, I'm not good enough. His objection was, I'm getting out of here. He gets on a boat and starts going as far away from Nineveh as he can get. And we know the story. He gets swallowed by the fish, the big fish. In the midst of the belly of the fish, he says, well, God, I'm reconsidering, and I think I'm okay going now. He goes and he preaches, and he's preaching fire and brimstone, and it's going to burn, baby, burn. And we see perhaps the greatest revival in all of the Bible. The people repent and turn to God, and God in his mercy and grace does not bring about judgment, but forgives the people. And Jeremiah is, to put it mildly, upset. He wanted the destruction. He wanted the fire and the brimstone, and it didn't come. He experienced the greatest revival in the Bible, and he throws a pity party for himself. I'm convinced when the prophets of the Bible get together in heaven and Jonah shows up, he has to come in with his head down and he says, I'm sorry, I know y'all had it rough, I had it good, I'm sorry. Sometimes God does some great things that we can be a part of. I hope we recognize that and appreciate it when it happens. When we think of the call of God, though, we tend to think of it coming to pastors and missionaries, those people that go into the full-time service of God. And I'm going to suggest to you that's not the case, that we're all called to be ministers. But we think that there has to be this special call. And indeed, pastors and missionaries can probably describe to you their call, how it happened that they came to this place. And I suspect each one is a little different. But I want to share with you my call. Maybe that'll help you in trying to discern your call. When I went off to college, I thought I wanted to be a marine biologist and study sharks. This was before the movie Jaws came out. Changed my mind before then. But it lasted all of one quarter of college, my freshman year. And I decided that I was more interested in maybe going into ministry. I didn't want to be a pastor in a church. I was leaning more toward like a parachurch organization, like Campus Crusade for Christ or the Navigators or something along that vein of thought. And so I was considering this, and I've shared this with you before, that I ended up between my junior and senior year of college in Houston, Texas, working at a Christian Drug Rehabilitation Center. Not my choosing to be there, but God directed that happen, and it was a life-changing summer. And after that summer, I decided I did indeed want to go to seminary, and that I wanted to serve God. But I did not, and I repeat, I did not want to be a pastor. I didn't like what I saw about pastors. You know, they get in the pulpit and they change the way they speak. They say, God. You know, I mean, who says God like that, stretching it out 3 or 4 seconds? They walk into a room and the whole conversation changes when they enter. All of a sudden, everything gets real serious. We think that the pastor is more holy than everyone else, more religious than all the others. We say that we pay the pastor to be good, which makes me wonder, are those of you sitting in the pew good for nothing? I went to seminary with the idea I wanted to work with troubled youth and drug addicts. Because I just spent a couple summers ago, doing that. And I made a very faulty assumption that changed my life. I assumed that the troubled youth and the drug addicts were in the inner city of Chicago. My seminary was one of the suburbs of Chicago. I didn't know that there were troubled youth and drug addicts right there in the community where my seminary was located. If I'd known that, I would have never signed up for the year-long urban training program where I was placed on the south side of Chicago, the predominantly African-American church. But it was in that church that I learned to love the local church. And it was while at that church that I was challenged to think about becoming a pastor. When I graduated from seminary, I was not a part of any denomination, and I was wanting to do inner city urban ministry, and I chose my city. I went to Atlanta, which was close to home. I was tired of Chicago winters. And I thought I was God's gift to inner city Atlanta. I failed miserably at that. I was quite humbled. And God, though, continued to work in me. I struggled between whether I should be part of a Christian social agency or as a pastor of a church. And it's in the midst of that failure and that being humbled that I discovered that God was calling me to pastor a church. So after 9 years in Atlanta, accepted a call to a church in inner city Philadelphia. If I'd known that was going to be the direction my life was going at the very beginning, I think I would have been like Jonah and taken off in the other direction. Often when we experience God's call, we best describe it in hindsight and after reflection. And certainly that's the case for me. After those years in Atlanta, then I spent 10 years in Philadelphia, and then felt a call that God was taking me back to my hometown of Macon, Georgia, to a church that I guess you would describe as a suburban church. But the problem with that was, in my mind, I was an urban inner city pastor. That was my identity. And this was not an urban inner city church. And I struggled with that, learning what is my call in this place. And then 6.5 years after that, I was called to an inner city urban church in Easton, Maryland. The evolution of a call. And as I look back and reflect, the call that God has had on my life has been to build up churches where I've served, to help them to recognize what their call is. How do they minister to their community? How do they do the work that God has called them to do? And it's not just the churches that I've served. It's been churches in those presbyteries, because I've served on presbytery committees and groups and teams that have worked toward helping other churches discover their call and their purpose. So there's been this evolution in my life. And I think maybe for you, as you think about what is your call, maybe there's an evolution in that too, because many of you are retired. And so that calling is very different now than maybe it was when you were in the workforce. Because I think we need to see where we work as a call to ministry. That we do all that we do for the glory and the purposes of God, and that includes where we work. But then when we retire, it becomes, where do we volunteer? Where do we serve God outside of the workplace? Certainly I would hope that it would be within the church, that we find ways of serving within this building. But I hope it's more than that also, that it spreads out. How do we serve our community? Do we serve it in some of the ministries that we are a part of, like the Talbot Interfaith Shelter or Habitat for Humanity? Or is it something that maybe we don't have a formal relationship with, like a hospice or volunteering at the hospital or at the library? Or maybe it's something that's might even be a little hard to distinguish it as let's just call it that we might think would be secular. Can we be ministers in a secular place like the Maritime Museum or the Blackwater Refuge, places where we do have volunteers from our church? How do we see what we're doing as being ministry? I think what helps us to know how to discern the call is to ask ourselves, where has God given us talents and abilities and gifts? For if you're good with finances, maybe God's saying, why don't you serve on the finance committee at the church? Or serve on the stewardship committee at the church? Or maybe even consider becoming the treasurer. I know Bud Marseille has been serving as treasurer for several years. He's looking to pass the mantle the baton to the next person. Maybe you are that person. Think about it. Or if you're good musically, it's this Thursday, the choir starts back, right? If you're good at music, why not join the choir or the bell choir? If you love to visit people, visit the shut-ins from our church or people that are in the hospital. There are all kinds of ways. If you're good with computers and electronics, we have an AV team that puts our screens together that we're soon going to be going into live streaming. If you look back there, we already have the cameras up. It's just a matter of figuring it all out now and how it works. There are all kinds of ways that people can get involved and do ministry if we'll just recognize that God is calling us to something beyond ourselves. And sometimes it requires us to have a little bit of humility to say, I don't know if I'm up to this. And then God to be able to come to us and say, but I'm with you. I will give you what you need to accomplish it, just like he told Jeremiah and the other prophets. We don't need to come into it with thinking that we can accomplish it on our own. We need to come into it recognizing that we need God to guide us in this. So, we are all called to be ministers. God, I don't think, at least not my experience, probably not yours, God does not speak to us with an audible voice saying, Duke, or to be a pastor, didn't happen. But God puts it in our hearts, puts it in our minds, where God wants us to go and to serve and to be ministers. Throughout the Bible, we see God calling people. That didn't stop at the end of the New Testament. That continues today. God is still calling if we would answer the call. Amen.